You're listening to the Monthly Money Makeover podcast, where Maya and Mapalo talk to the EBSA advisors and their contestants about their six-month Money Makeover bootcamp. You can also follow the journey with City Press, You Magazine, as well as Facebook at CP Money Makeover. This week, we are doing the Monthly Money Makeover podcast, and our focus this time is about when life happens, because getting yourself into debt and getting into financial difficulty isn't always about, you know, bad things you've done or buying the flashy car. Well, sometimes it is, but not always. And we've got two candidates who just kind of found themselves really just finding life getting a little bit too much and slowly but slowly slipping into debt.
For most individuals, is that bit by bit of life happening, and you fund all of these things with credit, because we always think that, you know what, something will come up. Somehow I will sort it out. We never go back and we never take a step back and say, okay, this is happening. How do I cut back? The first thing we think of is, how do I fund this? How do I maintain a similar lifestyle? But life is happening.
But life is happening. And this is such a perfect intro into Peter's story. So Peter, if you've been following, he's a consultant. He was working for a big corporate, made the leap to go and join a smaller company, didn't realize what it really cost him to live. And again, started just that incremental slipping into debt. So let's hear from Peter.
I've always lived below my means. And then I got a really good job that had a whole bunch of benefits, and I worked really, really hard for sort of a good few years, and you sort of lifestyle elevates, and then the work got a bit much, and I was actually quite unhappy with where I was. And I got offered a job at a startup, and it was with a friend, and the conversation sort of went along the lines of, well, how much money can we offer you to, you know, that will be able to sort of pay for things. And at that point, I actually didn't really know how much money we were spending or what everything was. And, you know, my pay packet was made up of a car allowance and a retirement annuity and a cell phone allowance and medical aid that covered both adult dependents and 50% of all kids. And I just kind of didn't do the sums. And so it was like, well, I need X amount, which, you know, I was offered equity as well, and, you know, it looked like a really good business to be involved in. And then probably after about 6 months, you know, I had sort of leave paid out, I had a whole bunch of other stuff paid out, so I had cash sitting in an account, and just sort of used that to sort of prop things up as we went along. And then I cashed in a pension, because that had sort of, I was asked what I wanted to do with it, and it didn't seem like a lot of money in terms of being able to put it in the preservation fund. So I cashed that in, and, you know, that then carried on sort of topping everything up, and at the same time using lines of credit.
And then we had another child.
That
was like 4 months of no second income, and the costs involved,
And then my cousin immigrated, and they had a really good deal on a nice car, and pretty much exactly the same time, the bank had sent me an email saying that we can offer you an extension on a home loan for very little setup cost, which would cover the cost of the vehicle. So I took that instead of vehicle financing, so paying a car for over 18 years. Pretty much my credit card was just a few thousand rand short of its limit, which is also, you know, you get phone calls every so often from the bank saying, you're such a good payer of your credit card, have some more. And it's such an easy thing to have a telephone conversation, and the next thing you have access to more lines of credit. So you spend a little bit more, you pay a little bit in, you spend a little bit more. And then sort of ended up in a situation where it was a few thousand rand short of the credit limit and had no additional money saved away anywhere else.
And I think what's been interesting to me is you've always said, I just never thought I would be that person.
Yeah. But it's incremental. It's not something that just sort of goes boom, you know, do you want to take out 60,000 rand credit, which would be something where you sit down and go at 17.5% or 18% sort of interest rate, you must be mad, you know, just to sort of pay groceries and fuel and everything else. That's sort of, so that's one of those things where there was, there'd always just been a way, you know, something would happen fortuitously, get a little bit of a bonus, do a little bit of this, you know, and you could sort of quickly clear it, and then it wasn't really an issue anymore until that stopped. And then, you know, I think it becomes difficult when you just kind of carried on going, you know, it's all going to be fine. So then when it wasn't fine, then I was able to talk about it, but we were quite far down the process of it not being fine.
For me, what I really like about Peter's story is a classic story of when people pay off the debt. You know, you pay a little bit, then halfway through the month, you go back to using the debt. So it just keeps on going and going. It's like a vicious cycle that just never ends, right?
Well, that's it. And you know, Mapla, we've said this before. I'm sure we did it on our podcast at the beginning of the year or the end of the year, is, you know, this idea of, oh, I'll use the bonus to settle debt. But the next year you're in debt again. And that's exact cycle that Peter found himself in. And the other thing is, when I spoke to the couple that they kept coming up with, and I thought this was so interesting, is they kept saying, but we don't understand. We don't live a flashy lifestyle. I mean, here's Helen saying.
We all think we don't.
Yeah. So this is Helen. I mean, this is exactly what Helen kept saying to me.
But our lifestyle was nowhere near what, you know, like saying compared to other people. We hardly eat out. We're not a coffee every day. You know, I would maybe take our coffee once a week. And our kids only do a limited number of extramurals, you know. So I think that's the other thing. It's like, it's not like we were living this five-star lifestyle, but there are lots of things that we could cut down. So it was always like, compared to, you know, the average Joe next door, we're actually quite conservative.
Yeah, and I think for me, what also struck me was that I do this sometimes. I look around me and I think, but how are they driving those two cars? How are they doing those holidays? I know how much I earn and I do pretty well. So how are they doing it? And it's it. And it's the realization that all those people around you that you're trying to keep up with are barely keeping their heads above water. And, you know, we've seen that, you know, over and over again. So I think it's just a really good message to people that, you know what, if you're sitting here thinking, I don't understand how other people are doing it, know that they're doing it with debt. It's not some miracle. Yeah, it's not some miracle that has occurred.
But I must tell you a personal story, Maya. That's the thing I'm like, how is this person driving this car? How is it that they live here? How is it that they're sending their kids to like very private schools? How are they doing all of this? And I know that their income is kind of similar to mine. And I'm thinking to myself, is it something that I'm doing wrong that I drive around in a Chevy?
No, Mapla, it's something you're doing right. So obviously part of this journey has been putting each of our candidates with a financial advisor. So Leanne Decker is Peter's advisor. And I chatted to her about how she's approached Peter's situation. And I found quite interesting the decision she's made about how to cancel his credit card debt.
The one thing that Peter has been doing, which is fantastic, is he has been saving on a monthly basis. What he initially thought was unit trust, but then when we actually looked at it, we discovered that they were endowment policies. So, and they were out of the restriction period, so they were open-ended at the moment. And initially, and I totally understand Peter's resistance there, because this is his last sort of like nest egg. And if something goes wrong, he doesn't have this nest egg to fall back on. But we looked at two things. We looked at the tax that's associated with endowments, and they're just too highly taxed for where Peter is at the moment. He doesn't have an emergency fund. He hasn't utilized his tax-free allowance within the year. So what we did was we decided it would be and also when we looked at the growth hadn't been great. So we know equity-based investments haven't performed over the last, they're little snatches where they've performed, but in general haven't really performed over the past 18 months due to all the economy stuff. So we really did look at it, and we considered all other avenues, but there was no other avenue, and we had to restructure what he had in place, because that actually wasn't working for him. He didn't have an emergency fund. So if something, you know, equity-based investments have values that fluctuate. Your emergency fund, you need to have your emergency fund sitting in something that's interest-bearing, that's not going to have market fluctuations. So restructuring everything, we've managed to pay a large portion of his credit card debt off, start his emergency fund, as well as utilize his first this year's tax-free allowance. So we've just, nothing's really changed in his sort of budget or anything. We've just restructured what he was already doing in a better way, and as a result, we freed up his amount that he was paying into his credit card every month, which was 5,000 rand. So, you know, it's made a huge difference for his sort of, also his mindset, because he's not using his credit card. So that 5,000 rand is like a massive sort of boost in his budget every month.
I must just make a point to the listeners that this was all done prior to the market crash. So Peter was incredibly lucky.
We were very lucky. We timed it perfectly. We did. Yeah. Yes.
And I suppose if one's listening here and saying, should I cash in my investments to cover my credit card? Right now, let's just say probably not, because you've probably decimated your investments.
People don't really realize what they spend. So when I say budget, what we did with Peter, we looked at what he thought he was spending. So sort of a rough sort of guesstimate of what he was spending on a monthly basis. And then we took all his slips and his bank statements and we went through everything. And that's sort of where we found that there was a little bit of a underestimation of what you think you're spending.
So it was not a little, it was significant.
Yeah. It was significant, yes. It was significant, yeah.
So Maya, for me, what Leanne, the advice that Leanne gave Peter was very interesting, because we are the ones always advocating that do not cash in your investments, right? But this time around, her advice to him was that, you know what, this type of investment is not the right one for you. So it is much better to cash it in and set it off. And it was an endowment.
Yes, it was, which she said was not the best investment for him. But I think also it isn't about cashing in. And one of the things that Leanne's very specific about, and you'll hear later on the podcast, is never cashing in your retirement fund. So it's very important to separate the difference between a retirement fund or perhaps just an investment you have that's not really growing. And how can you reduce your debt with that?
And what I did like about it is that it had gone through the 5-year period or the maturity period, so there wouldn't be any penalties that would face Peter.
Exactly. And I think that's really, really important. And obviously also Leanne talks about the importance of going through their budget. And when I spoke to the couple, they kept saying, well, we always thought we were sticking to a budget. But then what they really have been able to cut down on is actually food, grocery bills. And they do a meal plan now. And they were saying to me, like, even if there's a 30% discount on some food item in the shops that week, if it is not on their meal plan, they do not buy it. And they're being absolutely rigid. And I just wanted to share with you how much, and I mean, they've already seen the benefits of sticking to this budget and having this, just basically taking control of their money just in 2 months.
It's, I'd say there's a fair bit of relief as well that stuff that we've done has actually yielded results. And I met with Leanne briefly yesterday, and just not having to pay the amount of money I was paying into the credit card, I think also coupled with the fact that I was using the credit card each time I paid into it, and the balance never went down, and we just carried on forking out this massive amount of cash every single month to be in the same situation. And in fact, sometimes to use even more cash. And I think for the month of February, and it looks like for the month of March, we're going to be sort of under our projected budget, which means there's a little bit of cash left, which is not a situation we have been in for 3-4 years.
And also I think a lot of it is a sort of hidden sand mentality that you, for me personally, to kind of own up and say, actually, I actually owe quite a lot on my credit card, and it feels like I'm working really hard and not making any money. And to be told, actually, it's not, you're not the only person out there. It doesn't make it okay, but there are ways around it, and it's not something that you can't overcome.
Maya, really for me, even just saying that even if a food item costs 30% less, isn't that what we do normally? You go into a shop, you didn't plan to buy anything, but because, 50% sale, but you never intended to buy it. So it's not a sale, you are just spending that money.
It's not a deal. If you spend money, it's not saving money.
It's not saving, you're not saving.
And I also thought, you know, when Helen and Peter said to me how much difference it had made to their lives already, I thought of Nono. You know, we had Nono in our last podcast. The same people, as you take control of your money, amazing things happen.
I remember when I started taking control of my money and really tracking everything, you just get so, so excited. And you see just how much money you were wasting before that, because we always have this idea, I know how to budget. But if you're not tracking your expenses every day, a budget is not something you do once a month and you go back to at the end of the month and you think, oh goodness,
I went to have my budget.
Look at the mess.
What have you learned?
Yes. What have you learned? Exactly.
And, you know, I think the other interesting conversation I had with them was around, I said to them, what have your family and friends said? Because, you know, these people, think about these six candidates come on and they go, City Press and now You Magazine this year as well. Now there's a lot of people between those two publications. There's a lot of eyeballs, aren't there, knowing about your life? And I just thought it was very interesting to ask them that question. And Peter said this is what his brother had to say.
I told my brothers and my parents. I must admit, my brother was a little bit shocked. I think he always thought that I was completely on top of things and perhaps wouldn't be in a situation like this. But it's been really good to be able to talk to him about it as well and say, well, look, you know, these were the things that happened. This is what I did that got us to the situation that happened. And it's actually been quite refreshing to have a frank conversation. I think not talking about it, we sort of go about things thinking everything's fine and, you know, yes, let's go out for dinner, let's meet up with these people, you know, let's go and do this because it's what everybody else is doing. But, you know, at the end of the evening, you know where the money's actually coming from to fund the lifestyle.
This is part two of When Life Happens. We touch base with Money Makeover candidate Mishak and his ABSA financial advisor, Johan Froos. We also chat to Leanne and Johan about what to do if you're facing retrenchment. So Mishak's story is another one that I think will really resonate with people because he didn't have a salary drop, unlike Peter, but life happened and he had to use his credit card to get by. And so let's listen to his story.
My mom was unceremoniously kicked out of the house and I had to step in by buying her a house. Because it was not a planned thing, I used a credit card to pay for conveyances for transfer and registration of the house. The same year, my wife gave birth to healthy twins, and then my house was ransacked twice in a month. I had to replace all the things that they stole using my credit card. That is why I'm in debt. The financial situation forced us to put the white wedding celebration plans on hold, but we intend to have that once we pay off the debt. I intend to give her the wedding celebration that she deserves once we pay off the debt.
I absolutely love Mishak's story. It really, I think it resonates with a lot of people that he didn't have a salary drop, but life happened. He found himself having all these things happening at him and going, and he started using credit to get by.
I mean, absolutely. And you know, when I said to Mishak, he had to send me a WhatsApp note because he couldn't get onto Zoom from work. I said to him, please tell us about that decision about needing to give your wife at the white wedding you were never able to give her. I don't know if I can because I get so emotional.
I remember one of the reasons we chose Mishak for the money makeover was because he spoke so beautifully about his wife and family and what he wants to be able to do for his family, specifically for his wife, after all those financial decisions and financial roadblocks they had met with them. And for me, I think what I can take out of his story is that when you take control of your finances, it's not just for yourself, but for your entire family.
And I mean, I think that says everything. You know, that's actually what we want. We want us financial security for our family. And if you're struggling with self-motivation, maybe look at your family and think, I'm doing it this for them. Let's really do that for them. And, you know, with Meshack, it's been quite a challenge, I must be honest, because of this debt that he's taken on. And I mean, I do wonder how he got into this debt, how the banks allow this, but anyway. So his financial advisors had to obviously put a plan in place. And this is what he's advised Meshack so far.
Just to give brief background, he unfortunately got in a situation. He was financing, he was helping his mom, which he could never really afford that second bond, helping her buying a property, and also using the certain funds for the deposit on his credit card. And we know to finance long-term debt on a short-term credit and a credit card in that vehicle, it's so expensive as well. So yeah, it's a bit of a tough one. There's no magic fix on that. However, I went into his bank profile and check on all little thingies, bank fees, wherever we can save, whatever, found with Absa Rewards. If you just have certain products, just certain debit order loaded or certain products just that's already there on the system. And I tried to put him up on a different tier level because Absa's got cashback rewards. So yeah, I've improved that for him. It will not change the whole perspective, but it was around 250 Rand just by, again, I'm not sure about the right terminology, by fine-tuning his Absa profile. So there's a bit of a saving. With regards to the paying back the debts, extra money, paying the card, yeah, there's no real expendable income, although we have also spoke about a possible DSTV cut, and that is a few hundred Rand. But when I looked at his budget, I've got his Excel template in front of me. He's starting to complete it. He's working with us, budgeting for his petrol, his fuel. Having written everything down from the, you know, from child clothes to children clothing. So yeah, and he's got a few rand extra with livestock that he's got in the field. As you know, there's value into that, but although the market timing was now bad the last few weeks, that he could actually having a huge chunk of his capital, because the credit card is our main concern for the immediate short term, or because of the high interest as well. So yeah.
And Johan, I know you recommended to him, and I thought this was quite an interesting one to discuss on the podcast as well, is, you know, he's got this credit card debt, but what he found was that because he wasn't putting enough money into the credit card, he said 50% of his installment was actually going to interest. And you've looked at possibly turning it into a personal loan with a term end.
Yeah,
What is the logic around? I mean, should people with that kind of credit card debt perhaps look at turning it into a personal loan?
Yeah, I think at the end of the day, you're going to compare apple with an apple. That's only going to be the interest rate. So, and obviously any service fee that's involved. So that was also not really an option because of his debt situation. The interest rates were very, very marginal. So it's not going to work. We even tried to look at doing consolidation of debt with his best Toyota financing, you know, finance the car or take the car financing over. Maybe we could give him a reduced rate. So at the end of the day, yeah, that also did not really materialize. So I think just in a short, what I've realized with Meshack, and I think most of South Africans out there or most of our consumers, our clients, so people don't always realize, you know, the high interest rate. At one stage, credit cards were approximately 30%. So it's humongous. People think, okay, I'm paying 500 Rand a month. That's my installment. And most people don't actually realize, don't look at it. So I think that's also education that's also missing on the high financing cost. Because when you're in that debt, how to get out? Because it's so easy to maybe get such a high debt and to get out is another thing. And I think that's also a lack of a bit of education of these high interest rates.
And Johan, I just thought one of the interesting things that came out from Meshack's situation, I just was probably my favorite story, is how he, in an analyzing his spending, he discovered that when he went off to pay his store cards at the end of the month, he landed up spending more money because he'd take the family for lunch and then land up buying more stuff. So what did you do? What did you recommend?
No, I think that was just paying, you know, using online banking. I can use that as an example. He was going to Edgar's physically with his family on a weekend or whatever, and go and pay the account in the store. And then somehow had a little breakfast or a lunch, and also costed extra because it wasn't really planned. So it's also been paying the account, make it a little occasion, which also is not really, there are not really funds for that. And to summarize again, I think looking at this budget, I think I'm going to just start using it again. I'm going to emphasize it on all my, not force it on clients, but just tell them, here's a little bit of template. Go and build your own thing. Write, just write down your expenses. That's one thing I believe to change the whole, like Leanne also say, clients need to the expendable income is most households, so we are really under pressure. But it's really going to analyze each little expense on your bank statement. A very important thing, client must probably draw his bank statement, not probably, go through his bank statement, go through each little debit order from 10 Rand, whatever the case may be, looking at the bank fees, probably how he can or she can, you know, lower their bank fees, because banks has a lot of packages and specials. So that's one thing. Use your bank, because they are going to either reward you via bank fees. That's very important. And then go through each little installment. And so even your car insurance, I found it, you know, even my short-term advisor, they will not somehow phone you every few months and say your car value has dropped. You must look at that policy and look, because you're paying maybe 6, 7, 8 months later down, the value of that car has been reduced. The value of the cars are reduced monthly, basically. But all these little things. So it takes a bit of effort. And really, luxuries, it's a bit of a joke, but I always told myself, if I'm really, really into big trouble, I'll have to cut my DSTV bill. So I must just mention it. I mean, but I know it's going to be tough to be without it. But yeah, there are some things that you have to do. And with regards to Meshack, he's really committed. That's what I found. He's already captured the spreadsheet. He's working according to it. And like you said, the Edgar's is a good example. Start paying your accounts online. However, he closed these Edgar's. There was luckily not a lot of debt there. And I think the next step is possibly to look at any luxury items to also try and get some cash on the budget.
He did mention to me that he's going to try and increase the payments into his credit card in the meantime, because that will have quite a significant improvement in reducing their credit card debt. So even if he managed to find 200 or 300 Rand extra in his budget, if he adds that to his credit card repayments, it does have quite a big impact.
Oh, yes, definitely. And he's also going to use a major portion of his bonus that I think is due in April, end of March, 15 April, I think, or is due soon, that is going to allocate as capital.
So now, from the clip, Maya, it goes back to the budget. I mean, so far, they have been able to find about $600 now in his budget.
Yeah, so Meshack told me that he's saving about 600 Rand a month. So he's on his third month. So what's that? 1,800 already that he's managed to save just from looking
at his existing budget. And I think for me, it goes back to that whole point that even if it's just a small saving, you need to find money in your budget. And that small amount can make such a big difference when it comes to paying off your debt. And I think, Maya, I've seen when you say to people, you can find $500 and start paying off your debt, for them, it feels like what will $500 do? Will it even put a dent to this mountain of debt I have?
And what's interesting is that Meshack is, one of the things Meshack picked up was that half of his credit, you know, his debt, of half of the installment he was paying to his credit card was going to interest. So just that extra $500 that he's now allocating to his credit card or possibly the personal loan, if he couldn't take one, but that extra $500 is going to halve the time to pay off that credit card. So I think that's what people just don't realize. That extra $100 even or $500 can really significantly impact, especially on high interest accounts like that. So every, I promise you, if you're doing budget cuts and you think I can only just find an extra $300-$400 here and I can put that into my debt, it will make a difference, I promise. So to end off, Mapalo, you know, given the environment we're in, and all the chaos and uncertainty around us right now, and things are getting really tough. I also spoke to Leanne and Johan as advisors, because obviously they get a lot of clients coming to see them, about whether they were seeing more clients losing their jobs or, you know, having lower incomes, and what advice they give.
I wouldn't say a drop in income as such, but expendable income. So I think they're sort of earning the same as what they've always been earning. But the cost of living has sort of skyrocketed lately. So expendable income is becoming less and less and less. And I find more clients are starting to finance their lives the last couple of days in the month until the next paycheck comes in via credit. So that's definitely becoming a more sort of prevalent experience.
But Leanne, I mean, in your experience, do you think that people find it difficult to make the necessary cuts? Do you think they wait too long to think something will happen, that it'll, you know, things will change?
Things will change. Absolutely. And that goes to the increase in access of credit. You know, instead of cutting down on bills and budgeting, strict budgeting in these sort of times is essential. Knowing exactly what you've got coming in and where and how you're spending your money is essential. And people do tend to sort of like play ostrich a little bit sometimes, bury their heads in the sand and hope it all goes away. But at the end of the day, if you are proactive straight away and you notice that, you know, you're tapping into, because a lot of times people don't even really notice it. It's like an unconscious thing that you start to tap into your credit card. So if you start noticing that, have a look at your expenses and see where you can cut straight away before things get too bad.
And Leanne, that's actually such an interesting point because of your candidate, Peter. So, you know, Peter and Helen went through exactly this, where they actually experienced actual drop in income because he left a corporate salary. But it does seem that they were just living on the credit lines. And the biggest shock to them was how much they were spending.
And when you look at that and you've got a massive deficit, you know, it is scary. It is scary. And to make those changes can be very difficult, but it's not impossible. You can do it.
And Johan, from your perspective, you know, you were speaking a little bit about the confidence in the economy. People were hoping things would come right. They're not. I think it's reasonable to assume that we're going to possibly start to see an increase in retrenchments. And what do you tell a client? If you've got a client who's just been retrenched, you know, we've got Peter who had, well, you've got different scenarios. You've got somebody whose income's just not making it anymore because life has got more expensive. Then you've got someone like Peter who's seen an actual decrease because they took a lower salary. But then you've got someone who's actually retrenched. So what is your advice, Johan, to someone if your client comes and says, listen, it's bad, you know, I've been retrenched?
It depends on the situation. But I can use my brother as an example. He was retrenched last year working for a insurance company. And then also a bit of a surprise retrenchment. And I think he got a 9-month salary package. However, he was immediately in internal audit and he was immediately putting his CVs around all the corners and all the necessary places. And well, luckily by God's grace, he got a job after, I think in month 9 or 10. So he'd been through a tough time. And he also had to take a pay cut as a sort of a, also an alternative credit manager, internal auditor, more or less the same thing. So it just shows you he's been cutting off, well, I told him try to keep up your RAs going. He's been cutting a lot of, you know, a bit of the food budget.
The writing is kind of on the wall before retrenchment happens. So you get your letter, you know when it's going to happen. Don't wait for those sort of things to happen. Start putting out your feelers, start planning straight away. Because it's happening, it's not going to not happen. So rather be proactive and make the cuts whilst you can. Don't wait till it's sort of crunch time and you land up with people knocking on your door.
And maybe I'm sure that you guys would know about this, is your credit life. So I think so many people don't know it exists.
Is an absolute must. Not only does it pay if you die or if you're disabled, but it also pays your installment for 4 months whilst you're retrenched. My other advice for people who are retrenched, please do not access your pension funds. You're putting yourself so far back into for retirement savings. Put them into a preservation fund. Keep them there. It needs to be an absolute, absolute last resort.
And I think that must be a very good time to get an advisor in, or somebody, you know, that can come in and actually help you do some of the stuff, because it is hard to take action sometimes. You know, we sit here and say take action, but when you're emotionally quite battled and bruised, it does help perhaps somebody just take over some of that decision making and say, listen, you need to cut here. We'll get your policies working for you. We'll do all of those things. I mean, do you find that that's quite almost a psychologist, the admin person, that becomes an important role?
Absolutely. Restructuring is something that has to be done. Like Johan was saying, putting certain things on holiday, you know, your premium breaks, just so that you've got like some sort of liquidity still at the end of the month. The one thing that, and I do find people make this mistake often, is I suppose it's maybe like a sort of knee-jerk reaction. It's like, where can I quickly save cash? Is they cancel their risk benefit. I've seen horrific things happen when people just cancelled risk benefits. Accidents with covered, had they had the disability benefit, diagnosis of severe illnesses. Rather, we can restructure those premiums to make sense, but you still have a benefit in place.
Yeah, very good point. And then, of course, if you find any extra money channeled into that debt,
debt is huge. Yes, debt. If you can, try not incur the debt in the first place. You know, if you can't afford it, don't buy it.
So that's a wrap for today. If our listeners would like to learn more about these or any money-related topics, they can go to the City Press website or to your website,
womanandfinance.co.za,
or my website, mayaonmoney.co.za.
And if you have any questions or comments, you can send us a WhatsApp voice note to 064-554-3959. And we look forward to hearing from you.
Because we want to know what it is that you want to know. You've been listening to the My Money, My Lifestyle podcast, featuring contributors of the City Press Personal Finance Pages.